I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm so glad you've joined us for this time of Bible teaching and spiritual encouragement. I'm Anthony High, Executive Director of Heralds of Hope, and I'll be joined in a bit by our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst. Today's program is a little different. It's Father's Day weekend, a time to honor, remember, and encourage the fathers in our lives. I'm thankful for my father and the influence he's had on me. Fatherhood is no small calling. It takes patience, strength, humility, and above all, a deep relationship with God. In a world full of distractions and shifting values, fathers are called to be men of character, anchored in Christ and led by the Holy Spirit. That's why today's message centers around one of the best pictures of godly character in all of Scripture, the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So join us and let's hear what God has for us on this special edition of the Voice of Hope.
When I say the word Father, what pictures come to your mind? Are they pleasant, or are they memories that you wish you could forget? You know, there has never been a human being, except Jesus, that had a perfect father. And if you're a father now, you surely feel the weight of your own imperfections. But don't despair. The Bible has clear direction for dads, and God's grace is sufficient to cover your shortcomings. We find so much in the Scriptures that will equip us to experience God's best for us in the role as a father. And so on our program today, we honor faithful fathers and call them to a greater degree of faithfulness to God, to His Word, to their families, and to their churches. You know, returning to a biblical understanding of fatherhood is the surest path to revival of Christian belief and practice. One of the great tragedies of our day is the rise in fatherlessness. The pressures we face in our modern society often make it challenging to be the kind of father we want to be. And because of this, our society is forced then to deal with the spiritual, emotional, and physical consequences that result from fatherlessness. In a moment, we're going to listen to a song that was written in the aftermath of the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center in New York on September 11, 2001. While it focuses on fathers who lost their lives in that tragedy, it reminds us of the importance of the role of all fathers.
Today, our nation's cries can be heard throughout the land. The sounds of children weeping for the touch of father's hand. With broken hearts they're longing for their father to come home. They wait to hear his voice again, but father won't come home. You've got another chance to tell him that you love him. You've got another chance to show him that you care. You've got another chance to put your arms around him, to heal the painful feelings you may bear. Today our hearts go out
each loved one in the recent tragedies. Our Lord looks down from heaven and he sees each sparrow fall. He weeps with every broken heart and hears them when they call. You've got another chance to tell him that you love him. You've got another chance to show him that you care. You've got another chance to put your arms around him, to heal the painful feelings you may bear.
In thinking about the characteristics of a godly father, my mind went to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, what we often refer to as the fruit of the Spirit. And so today we're going to look at how those fruits relate to being a godly father. The scripture says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you know, the love that's spoken of in the Bible is not natural to us. That's why Ephesians 5:25 commands husbands to love their wives. How? Like Christ loved the church. And then Colossians 3:19 adds, and don't be bitter toward them. Ephesians 6:4 commands us to love our children. And 1 John 4:21 commands us to love our fellow believers. The kind of love we're talking about isn't a feeling. It's a choice. It's a commitment to the well-being of another person, even if it costs me more than I initially thought. And no one can be an effective father without that kind of love. A father's role is crucial. Love is the foundation of your children's lives. Someone once said, the greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. I think there's a lot of truth to that statement. But fathers can only love their wives and children to the degree they understand and accept God's love for them through Jesus.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free.
Thank you, men, for reminding us of the one who loves us and the one who teaches us how to love. The next fruit is joy. Joy is cheerfulness or calm delight. As dads, we know the reality of a harsh and unforgiving world. We know that life isn't fair, that people take advantage of the powerless. And so as we teach this fact to our children, we can sometimes appear to be harsh, maybe even uncaring. We want them to understand that you have to take your lumps in life and keep on going. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeve. But amidst these challenges, there is joy in fatherhood. The joy of spending time with your children. The joy of seeing them grow and learn and develop. The joy of seeing them begin to positively influence the lives of other people. We need to model a cheerful countenance and a calm spirit, even in difficulty. Our children need to know that we as dads enjoy spending time with them. When our children were young, our family enjoyed playing board games together. And you know something? Now they're grown, and they have children of their own, and we still enjoy playing games together as a family. How do you respond when you come home from work, plop down in your easy chair, and prop your feet up until supper time, only to have one of your children come to you and say, "Daddy, will you read a story to me?" Can you smile and say, "Okay, go pick out a book," or do you frown at them and tell them you want to be left alone? You know, even if we have to say no, we can do it cheerfully. And then next is the fruit of peace, the tranquil state of our soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. We fear nothing from God, and we're content with whatever He sends us. Those things aren't always pleasant. We live in troubled times, and sometimes I ask, what will my children or grandchildren face in their lifetime? But you know, I praise God because I can rest in His divine providence. I can be at peace. He has a plan mapped out for their lives, just like He had a plan mapped out for mine. He has that all under control, and that knowledge, that assurance, gives me peace. And you know, this peace is not just a personal state of mind. It's a gift from God that can permeate your relationships and your home. It will bring harmony and tranquility. I can also have peace in my relationships with my family. There's no need for constant quarreling and bickering. When we follow God's word, we can have harmonious relationships. No, we're not perfect. We fail. But overall, those relationships can be positive. As dads, we set the tone in our families, in our homes. If we're at peace with God, at peace with our calling, and at peace with our fellow men, then we will most likely have a peaceable home life too. This song encourages us to be joyfully at rest, at peace.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you the journey may appear, grace shall be as your day. We have a living Lord to guide, and we can trust Him to provide. Do this and joy, your hearts will swell. All is well, all is well. The world of care is with us every day. Let it not this obscure. Here we can serve the Master on the way, and in Him be secure. Gird up your loins, fresh courage take, our God will never us forsake. And so our song no fear can quell, all is well, all is well.
Then there's patience. Uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't talk about this because I seem to know so little about it. But here it is, it's in the list. Being a dad is a bit like being a farmer. In James chapter 5 and verse 7, we read these words, "The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." So you plant the crop, you attend to its growth, but mostly you wait. And that's how it is with being a dad. You plant the seeds of truth in your child's life. You protect that tender young plant. You pull out the weeds of wrong attitudes and wrong behavior. And you do everything you can to ensure the child will become a productive member of society, but even more important than that, a member of God's family. But most of what you do is wait. And waiting requires patience. As men, God designed us as problem solvers. When we see a problem or a challenge, we begin immediately to formulate a plan to address it. But how do we respond when our plans don't work? Are we willing to take more time to listen and learn? Or do we become impatient and irritable? You know, that question leads me to the next fruit, which is gentleness. Gentleness carries the idea of integrity, moral excellence. Men, you know that gentleness is not one of our natural tendencies. We tend to enforce the guidelines in our homes systematically and often sternly. We want our children to understand the consequences of making wrong choices. And sometimes our discipline can be overly harsh. That risks breaking the child's spirit instead of breaking their will. We need our wives to help balance us in this area. Ephesians 6:4 warns us as fathers not to provoke or to exasperate our children to the point where they get angry. So we must learn that firm guidance can be coupled with gentleness. Children must know that dad's strong hands, those same hands that administer discipline, are also capable of a light and gentle touch. A smile, an arm around the shoulders, and an encouraging word all demonstrate a gentleness of spirit within. And fathers, we need to model the example of our gentle shepherd, the Lord Jesus.
Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle shepherd,
the next fruit is goodness. Goodness is moral excellence, which results in doing good deeds for others. No, we're not looking for a payback. We just want to bless others. In Galatians chapter 6, we're commanded to do good to all people, and especially toward our fellow believers. Well, that would certainly include our families. You know, the righteousness of Christ is the only source of genuine goodness. Because Jesus lives in us, we are empowered to do what is right and good. So the fruit of goodness can only be present if we have learned how to die to our own selfish desires. Goodness also contains within it the idea of generosity. Romans chapter 2 tells us that God's goodness leads people to repentance. God is generous with his gifts, even to unbelievers, in hopes that they will recognize him and desire a relationship with him. We should exercise that same kind of generosity in our families. Our lives should be characterized by goodness. And then what about faith? Faith is a belief, a settled assurance in the truth. It is accepting the reality of something I cannot see. And biblical faith results in action. That's the theme of the whole epistle of James. Being a dad takes faith. I accept the promises God has given, and I act upon them. When I have a need, and I don't have the resources to meet that need, I have the confidence that God does have the resources. I can't see all the results of investing in my children's lives, but my children are old enough now that I can see, despite my failures and mistakes, that God is bringing to completion the good work that he has begun in them. He may not follow my timetable, but in my experience, I have found he's faithful.
My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living one that he for me will plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, it sends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he will not cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. My soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
Meekness is the next fruit of the Spirit. It is strength under control. It's the opposite of anger. Think about the lion. He's known as the king of beasts, strong and fearless, and yet he can be trained to submit that great strength to a human master. That's meekness. And Jesus described himself this way in Matthew's gospel. He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Now we know for sure that Jesus wasn't weak. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. But he voluntarily limited himself to functioning in the realm of human existence. He rebuked James and John, remember? They wanted to call down fire from heaven on the Samaritans. And he also reminded his disciples later on that he could have called legions of angels to deliver him from death. But he surrendered his own will and his desires to his Father. Dad, are you a meek person? Are you able to make a difference between your rights and your responsibilities? If you get angry at your son because he failed to do his chores, you're focusing on your right to expect obedience. If you know your responsibilities, you will help him understand the consequences of not following through on his commitments. But there's no need for anger. And then the final fruit that Paul lists in this Galatians passage is self-control. And this one is closely related to meekness. Sometimes it's referred to as temperance. It's the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. If you want a graphic example of how a father's lack of self-control affects his children, just read the story of Eli in the first book of Samuel. His experience warns us against thinking we can teach our children self-control while at the same time we indulge our passions. You know, in our culture, we are constantly bombarded with sensual images. Electronic media, billboards, and all kinds of communication promote the idea that the path to happiness and fulfillment is found in gratifying your senses. But in reality, it brings great suffering, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. It is, as Jesus said, the wide road that leads to destruction. On the other hand, meekness and self-control bring rest and contentment. We learn that happiness isn't having what we want, but rather wanting what we have. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's what the Scripture says. And He will not withhold from us any good thing if it will accomplish His purposes in our lives. So we should be overwhelmed with His goodness, none of which we deserve. Now, maybe our review of the fruits of the Spirit as they relate to fatherhood has discouraged you. I hope not. Perhaps you're thinking about all your failures as a father. It is good for us to acknowledge them and deal with them. But you know something? Satan is the only one who will use your failures to condemn you. My Father doesn't do that. Instead, by His Spirit, He convicts and He offers repentance and forgiveness. He wants us to strive to be more like Him and bring our lives into alignment with His Word. I hope that you will join me in pursuing that goal. If you're a dad listening today, let this song be your commitment.
We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
The trial of our faith brings its reward, endurance for the battle in the name of the Lord. And the truth that keeps this hope alive is the promise that He gives.
When we face the greatest struggle, we will stand. We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
Thank you, J. Mark, for that timely and direct message to fathers. As a father myself, I know how often I feel inadequate for the task. But today's message reminds us that we're not called to be a father out of our own strength. We're called to draw from the strength, character, and fruit that comes through the Holy Spirit. So this Father's Day, I encourage you, draw your life from Jesus. Let Him shape your character, and then go be a father like your Father in heaven. It's always our desire that these programs lead you closer to Jesus and help you understand the Bible more clearly. If today's message spoke to your heart, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question, a testimony, or a prayer request. We're here for you. You can reach us by phone at 866-960-0292 or by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can listen to past episodes or explore more Bible-based content on our website at heraldsofhope.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast or find us on YouTube by searching for Guide Through the Bible. Your prayers and support help us keep sharing the good news of Jesus around the world. And thank you for standing with us. Be sure to join us the next time for more Bible teaching and encouragement, right here on The Voice of Hope.
We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand.